Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and it is my pleasure to welcome Andrea Adler, author of Pushing Upward, a book of transformational fiction, part autobiography, and also sharing spiritual awareness as the author shares her understanding of what might be the norm for most people. Dysfunctional families, childhood emotional traumas, and a desire to begin to understand our unconscious and often self-sabotaging behaviors. The reason we want to understand this is so we can begin to create a corrective course of action for healing and self-actualization. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, Andrea, it is the goal of Healing From Within to recognize and bring to the public authors, healers, and visionaries who have already recognized their true nature as both physical and energetic beings. From this simple knowledge, we are able to achieve greater personal power to make decisions and better choices for changing reactions to the physical stresses and personal relationships, which often delay our realizing our true destiny and our soul journey. Let me tell our listeners something about you professionally. Andrea is a metaphysical marketer, a workshop presenter, has authored 3 books on holistic marketing, and is the founder of HolisticPR.com. Her spiritual journey has been shared wisely with readers of her new book, Pushing Upward, and also shared lovingly. Andrea, please tell us something about yourself, your work, and how you felt compelled to shift completely direction and write a fictional novel.
Well, this story has been brewing inside me for many years, and I also want to say that you introduced it as autobiographical. I am calling it fiction, although it has been inspired by my story.
As all authors, we have our interests, our hurts, our loves, everything combined in our writing. So yes.
But I did embellish many of the scenes and exaggerated some of the scenes just to make it a better story. And, of course, I always get asked the question, well, was this true? Was this true? So, once again, this story has been with me for many, many years, since the early 70s. And although it took a long time to understand the story and distance myself from it, and I would, was a journalist for some time, I was an actress for some time, I was a businesswoman and an author of 3 other books on holistic marketing. This story kept growing and growing until, and as throughout the years, as it continued to grow, I would be writing these scenarios down. And actually, during that 1 year that this story takes place, I remember walking around Los Angeles as if I had antennas on my head to capture every word and every action. And I used to question myself, why am I paying so much attention to what is going on in my life like I had never done before?
Well, I will tell you, we're going to get to this, but I think you were spiritually downloading the way to address a very serious and ongoing problem, and I think you did it very well. And we're going to get to that very, very shortly, but give us, please, a short synopsis of the storyline and something about the main characters. Just a brief description.
Pushing Upward is a coming-of-age story where Sandra Billings, 21-year-old Sandra Billings, faces an epic year when she discovers the I Ching, the ancient Chinese oracle, and uses it as her GPS to help navigate a torrid love affair, demons from the past, and her life as an actress in L.A. To circumvent and to expedite the process of becoming an actress, she places an ad and get off the wheel of the 9-to-5 job that she was on for a couple years, she places an ad in the LA Times, drama student in need of room and board in exchange for housekeeping. She meets some crazy, dangerous men, a few zany women, and ultimately meets Emma, this 80-year-old mysterious woman who she moves in with.
Who becomes a very, very influential spiritual guide and mentor to lead her beyond her childhood and some of her traumas. Now, in your book, Pushing Upward, there were several descriptions of your main character, Sandra. And while seeking an acting career and dealing with some of the people in her life, she also exhibited an eating disorder. Is that correct? Yeah? And let me just say, as a Reiki energy practitioner and medium, I have shared many experiences with clients who have had to conquer their fears and emotional barriers before conquering addictive behaviors. Now, as my listeners know here, my goal as a woman and a healer and host of this show is to help everyone, women and men, foster self-confidence, self-esteem, whether they're young or old, and to release attitudes and blame for any health issue or any addictive behavior that was created by other people in their life so they can realize their divine gifts and talents for self-empowerment, regardless of any childhood abuse or damage. So the question is, please tell us why you so graphically shared these episodes in the book. I must have read about 3 of them, and I knew it was leading to something else, but I wasn't just quite sure at the moment. Why you graphically shared these episodes of binging and purging to stay thin, and how do you now see the media and parents' main emphasis on setting extreme thin examples for our young women? Do you believe this is healthy?
Well, absolutely not. And, you know, while I was going through this, and this is true, it did happen to me, I did suffer from wanting to fill this hole that I had inside me. Now, I thought it was loneliness because I had moved away from everyone that I knew to pursue this theatrical career. And partly it was loneliness. And then, but even though I was with other people and had friends and met people in acting class and met people, you know, along the journey, it didn't stop me from continuing to binge and purge. And it didn't really, I didn't really understand it for years and years. I sort of capsulated the time for the book, but it took me actually much longer to realize
what was creating that loneliness. Well, many people have a sense of loneliness because we are separated from our spiritual dimension and our freedom of soul. So to put it, you can be in a room with 100 people and still feel a sense of being separate from something wonderful and divine, perhaps our soul energy. Is that true?
Oh, without question. It's many dimensions here. It's lacking at that time that soul, deep soul connection, which is why I gravitated toward this very spiritual book, the I Ching, which helped me to reveal my own unconscious and to help me make decisions that were excruciatingly painful and came at me as well as other young teenagers and young adults who leave home and have to make these decisions on their own without a lot of parental or sibling support. It's huge.
And
even if they have that support, they're getting answers from all these people and not listening to their own self.
Absolutely right. Now, your character, Sandra, after an incident with one of her friend's success, finds that her feelings are not what they should be. She finds it hard to be happy for her friend. And then she finds a book about sense pleasures, and she finds a partial answer to why she had an eating disorder. Only a partial answer. Can I read a part of that reason from your book?
Sure.
This comes from your book. Craving after sense pleasures is primarily due to insecurity and not recognizing craving within ourselves. We don't know what we are lacking, so we look outside ourselves. We try to fill our emotional vacuum with all kinds of diversions, but invariably we find that there is no end to indulgence and pleasure seeking. There is no lasting and absolute satisfaction from these sense pleasures because we are not free in the moment. And this is a very important spiritual concept that you're pointing us towards in the book. So the question is, who takes away our personal freedom of the moment? And can anyone or anything really do that?
Well, we need to take it back to that connection with Source.
Yes.
And the only reason we feel that emptiness is because we lack that connection. That is at the cause.
And not only
now,
we have
many times demons from the past that we have to deal with, which was in Sandra's case, and I don't really want to give that away necessarily.
Well, we may have to in a moment.
I think it's, yes, okay, so, in her case, there was an abuse issue. Mm. For other people, it could be other issues.
Yeah.
It could be jealousy, it could be abandonment, it could be, a lot of kids are abandoned at birth, and then they're adopted and they have to deal with those issues. The important thing is to become cognizant of what these issues are, forgive ourselves and others. That's a big one. And then, we don't have to live in the past.
Well, I think also, Andrea, I think also we are naturally free. Free spirit, free to live our life and our destiny and our life plan. But what happens is we make ourselves unfree, unhappy and unsuccessful, and sometimes we tie ourselves up because we have expectations for other people rather than ourselves. And sometimes other people have unrealistic expectations for us, and we need to learn that we need to feel from within our own destiny and plan, and we need to go past the hurts of our childhood. Now, you describe in the story that your anger, rage, and stuffing food down your throat was really your character's throat. The inability of your main character, Sandy, to deal with long-buried emotions and fears. And you then go on to say, Sandra, in a moment of clarity or remembrance, tells the emotionally offensive and terribly unpleasant and ugly story of what happened when she was 10 years old. Can you explain this? Because I have something very important that needs to be said as a result of this issue in the book.
It's interesting that you mentioned the word Sandy, and we've just experienced Sandy the hurricane.
Yes.
I find that to be a very interesting metaphor for this conversation.
And the destruction that has happened on the East Coast as a result of one of the worst happenings in history and human remembrance. Yes, so could you please tell us?
No life goes unscathed. Mm-hmm. We all have our demons. Some are, more tolerable than others.
Some are verbal, some are physical, some are sexual. Yeah, some
are
families that are unresponsive to a child who really, as every soul, deserves love. Now, I really want to say something here, but I need you to say something about what happened in the book, because when I got to that moment in the book, I was not expecting that. I was expecting more about the eating disorder, and I also have wished to do a show and talk about this issue as a healer, and in 65 shows, I have not had the opportunity. So do you want to tell us what happened to Sandra when she was 10 years old?
Well, there was an abuse, a physical abuse that took place by someone that she knew that took away an innocence, took away trust, took away...
It was a betrayal.
A, it was, I took away a foundation that she was a force to accept as a betrayal. Yes.
Yes, it was a sexual attack on a little girl, a little 10-year-old girl. Now, I knew the reason for the title of your book after I read that scenario. Now, what does the title mean to you?
Well, I love this title because it has so many meanings. Pushing upward is, you know, pushing up into a more evolutionary consciousness. Pushing upward is the casting of the coins of the I Ching, where I ask the question, would living with Emma be the right move at this time? And it was a sense of pushing upward into becoming a woman, into experiencing freedom. It has so many levels, you know, pushing upward toward God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pushing upward toward
your own potential, your own potential and divine essence and your personal power. Yeah, but I have to tell you,
my art. You know, and Sandra's art, her artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
So it really resulted in everything that she was having to go through, including re-experiencing the rape.
Mm-hmm.
She could push upward into another state of mind.
Right. It was going beyond her parental influences and her home life, which was not the best, and many children have to survive being in homes where parents are emotionally distant or abusive. And I have to tell you, Andrea, that I am very acutely aware that this kind of sexual abuse with children, as a teacher, elementary school teacher in the past, and parent and grandparent, and healer who does readings for many, many people, this is more rampant than people want to admit. And I have suggested this in other shows, that parents, teachers, and medical people must provide protection and care for all children by stepping up to the plate whenever an impropriety is observed. Just look at the events in Pennsylvania surrounding Jerry Sandusky's reign with boys in his care. And this is a blatant reminder that we must listen to the children, because children don't make up accusations about being inappropriately touched or worse. But sometimes people in a position of power will deny any wrongdoing because they just don't want to make waves. They don't want to make waves in the family. Medical people don't want to overstep their bounds. And teachers, as a teacher, I have dealt...
Now, you know, it's interesting. There are so with the rampant abuse issue and the rampant eating disorder issue, there are very few films that deal with this concept.
Well, there will be, I hope, more. I hope there will
well,
be.
Well, let me finish. One of the reasons I sat down and wrote the screenplay is to exhibit this in a bigger way. Not only because the story is so beautiful and it's a love story and a dedication to this woman that gave me more love than I ever experienced in my life, but for a learning, for people to understand that these issues are prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to deal with them.
Yeah, and see,
why I now have a director, why this thing is going to be moving out very quickly.
Well, I couldn't be more delighted, because I want to tell some of our listeners, you cannot allow relatives, teenagers, or anyone access to your children, even fathers, uncles, and grandfathers. Even incest is a serious element to this abuse. So anyone in charge of childcare must be alert to warning signs and ask for help from professionals if this happens. As a medium, I have seen and felt the terror and anguish experienced by some of my clients who were subjected to attacks such as you described in the book. And eating disorders are very often a result of sexual abuse in childhood. And I really have wanted to address this very disturbing and pervasive abnormality, which affects approximately 1 out of 4 girls and 1 out of 6 boys.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that, and I wrote a blog about this called The 50 Shades of Rape, and how even if it's done one time, whether it's repetitive or done one time,
the damage,
it is insidious in our entire lives and moves into the behavior that results from this one act of betrayal, moves into many aspects of our lives. And I've named 50 of those.
And then later in life, we have unhealthy adults who can't get past. They don't always remember what it is that hurt them so deeply, but it is prevalent in the diseases that they later, you know, the body comes out and shows, and it is part of their unconscious and subconscious memory, and the body reacts to it somewhere along the line physically. Now,
I had a similar, not exactly how I described it in the book, I had a similar experience of rape. I did not remember the rape until I was 35 years old.
Yeah. The soul tries to block it out and lift
it
above it.
The only reason I remembered it was that I was on the phone with an astrologer, and he said to me, it wasn't even person to person, it was on the phone, and he says to me, "Did you ever have any abuse in your life?" I went, "Oh yeah, plenty. You know, mental, verbal, and
that's,
you know,
difficult.
Father hit us." He goes, No. I'm talking real physical abuse."
Yeah. But
and
let's go on
sudden,
from that. I think
all of a sudden when he said this, I had the entire flashback.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's better that it come out, and it's
better that
discussed, because that's the only way to release it and go beyond it. But you mentioned that 35 years ago you shared an idea for this story with a friend, and shortly after hearing it, he wrote this poem. May I read it to our audience, because it expresses what happens to us and how we find our way past any trauma or hurt. May I read that?
Please do, yeah.
Who knows where the next road will lead or where the next road will exit? Countless doors, unending directions, not knowing which one to take. Excited, confused, lost in the weave. So many choices, high hopes and dreams. In the midst of the fury, the whirlwind of thoughts, nothing else matters but the strength of your heart. Others have walked this road. You need not travel alone. This journey you're taking, filled with rainbows and clouds, will one day be as embraced as your own. Andrea, tell us something about this friend, his work, and how he helped you let go of pain, because so many people need ways to accomplish that release of sorrow and pain in order to find happiness and peace.
Well, it was quite fascinating. I was telling this friend of mine about this woman who I had moved in with and how she died, and I was very upset about it and filled with guilt because it didn't end the way I ended it in the story. It ended very differently, and I was filled with remorse. And he helped me to understand that many times, because he worked in a retirement community, he understood the elderly state of mind.
They do choose their way to exit. I did hospice for 8 years, and my old mother chose
so
to leave alone.
He explained to me that many times they know exactly, like, and dogs are like this too. They know, they walk away, they leave home, they find their spot, and they leave the planet.
Not only that, they don't want to leave someone they love so dearly with that last memory and sorrow. They want to do it on their own terms. You know, it's like Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way," and leaving in death is pretty much like that. But I want to say, your character, Sandra, did have a beautiful relationship with this elderly woman. And years ago, I myself befriended an older woman who lost her husband. She is a psychologist. She's 88 years old now. And she was very helpful in my own maturation process, where I was able to redefine my intelligence and stimulate my growth and refine the books I was working on. So I feel soul connections have little to do with age and everything to do with recognizing that we are connected to everyone, but certain soul connections really help us advance our purpose in life. So I want to
really, this intergenerational mentoring is such a huge vacuum in our society. We spend so little time with our elderly, and they have so many of them have so much wisdom to share.
Absolutely.
They can help us from making huge mistakes. They've gone through it. They've been there. They've done that. And we spend so little time. And instead, our society tries to sweep them under a carpet and pretend they don't exist, or place them into homes that are so unhealthy. So part of what I want to do, once the film comes out and this gains the recognition that I hope it receives, is that bringing these youth organizations in affiliation with the elderly associations and organizations to create more mentoring.
It's a great idea. I want to thank you, Andrea Adler, for a graphic look at issues that surround too many of our dearest treasures, the children and the older people, and for insights into the family dynamics that sometimes allow hurts or wounds from these relationships to the heart. For more information on this book, Pushing Upward, please go to pushingupward.com. In summarizing this episode of Healing From Within and Andrea's book, Pushing Upward, which is a fictional tale of a young woman who finds an older companion who shows her love and high regard for the girl and helps her release the restrictions, fears, and pains of her early life, helping her move past sexual abuse and an eating disorder, the girl is able to evolve and expand into a healthy human being. The theme of Healing From Within always hopes to search beneath the obvious to find the cause and challenges of physical life, rediscovering our deeper soul essence. Talking about unspeakable events of incest, sexual abuse, and eating disorders is hard and disturbing, and too many people prefer being in denial and bearing these criminal offenses. But for those of us who are intuitive and sensitive, denial is not an option. If we are to witness life in all its extremes and help those who were betrayed, harmed, or disempowered by negative actions, we must speak out regardless of any threat or personal loss. While the main character, Sandy, in the book did not have adequate emotional support from her mother, father, or brother earlier in life, the universe or spirit eventually provided people and events which nurtured and healed her. Healing is possible on a multidimensional level when personal responsibility is taken and an awakening to our true soul magnificence is remembered. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I ask you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, or Web Talk Radio to hear leaders in the field of alternative healing, holistic healing, spiritualism, energy medicine, psychic awareness, and the path to higher consciousness and self-actualization.